Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Cut me up just a little bit, Chad, if you will. Amen. I want you to know I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. And always good to see our church family and folk we love dearly. And then always good to meet some new folk. And you didn't have to come here this morning. Could have went anywhere in town. But the Lord's brought you by this way, and we're thankful for that. And trust the Lord to bless each and every person represented today. Stand with me, if you will, Luke chapter 23. And we'll preach a little while this morning, okay? Luke chapter 23, if you will. Let me read a few verses here this morning. Look in verse number 32. The Bible said, and this is about the crucifixion of the Lord. The Bible said, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Let me just pause for a moment, point something out. I thank God for the accuracy of the King James Bible. And right on down to the very punctuation that the Holy Ghost has preserved it for us. Notice the Bible said, and there were also two other, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. Without them two little commas between before and after malefactor would lend you and I to believe that the Lord was dying as a malefactor, as a criminal, as somebody who had done something deserving to be put to death. But them two commas separate him from the other two men that was going to be crucified. I'm telling you, like I tell you nearly every week, you can trust your King James Bible. The Bible said in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also is written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Father, I love you this morning, and I'm so thankful for the word of God. Father, I'm so grateful today, Lord, in my own heart and in my own mind, that you have inspired and preserved the word of God. And that which has been settled forever in heaven has been delivered, Lord, not only to our hands, but to our heart. And we're saved today. We're born again, Lord, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we bless your name this morning for your word. Father, I pray now, Lord, for the next few moments that you'd empower us as we preach your word. And may your word stand alone. And Lord, may it be heard today in the hearts and lives, Lord, of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's represented here this morning. Father, we look around. We're missing several folk that this morning. We do pray that you'd bless them as they're in different places. Father, this crowd is gathered in this morning, and you've led these folk, Lord, to this place, Lord, to hear your word. And I pray today that indeed they would hear it. And Lord, you do something great as only you can do. And when we leave here, we give you the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As we set the context, we understand this morning, and the verses we've read are the scene of Calvary. It's a place with wherewith the Lord has laid down his life and is, my friend, shedding his blood for the redemption of the fallen human race. As we consider this this morning, we also understand that the world doesn't think a lot about the chapter we've read from and the scene that we've read to you in your hearing this morning. They consider it to be an awful place, a place that if Jesus was who he said he was, then why did God allow him to die the death that he died? I understand this morning that what God sees and what the Bible has to reveal is much more than what the world could ever comprehend today. We began last week a series of thoughts on the miracles of Calvary. I understand there's much bloodshed. I understand. And seemingly on the surface, at Calvary looks like a failure. I also understand this beyond what your eye can see. There were great things accomplished that day. And my friend, beyond what the Roman soldiers were doing, beyond what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing, beyond what the crowd was crying when they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." Behind it all is the sovereign hand of God at work, doing miracles on that great day. Our last Sunday we studied together the miracles of Calvary. We dealt with the miracle of fulfilled scripture over and over. In the account of Calvary, we read a statement or a statement like that something was done that it might be fulfilled. And we studied several, I guess a dozen or better, different prophecies the Old Testament gave hundreds and even thousands of years before Calvary came to pass. And God said, "This is how my son's going to die. This is the way it's going to happen. This is what will be done to him." And how that, my friend, every prophecy given by God in the Old Testament has its fulfillment, my friend, in the New Testament, in the very scene of Calvary. And we're thankful for that. Listen, man could not do that. And you study out all the things that had to fall in place. It wasn't just prophecies about the Lord. It was prophecies about the crowd and how that they would treat it. And my friend, what a great miracle, the miracle of Calvary, the miracle of fulfilled scripture. And from that, we learned that the Word of God was short. I'm glad that the Word of God can be trusted. When you read about Calvary and understand that God said, "Here's how it's going to happen," and it happened the way he said it was going to happen, the Word of God is validated, and the Word of God is magnified as being something that we indeed can trust. We dealt with the fact that not only did it show us the Word of God is sure, but that the Son of God can say, amen, he is who God said he was. And my friend, he was the Son of God, the Messiah sent from God. He was the one sent to save Israel and the fallen human race from their sin. And we dealt with that miracle. Now, I'm not preaching all this morning over again, but I want to deal with today in this scene of Calvary. We understand the verses we've read that it wasn't just the Lord that was crucified there that day. The day that we read about, the day the Lord died, my friend, there was two other men that died with him. One on the right side and one on the left side. These men are identified in verse 32 as being malefactors that were led with him to be put to death. These men were criminals. These men were guilty of insurrection. They was guilty of rebellion against the Roman government. And these men was led that day to Calvary's hill, Golgotha's hill, and there they were going to be slain and put to death along either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read this scene, we do understand that, my friend, according to Matthew's account, that, my friend, both of these men began in that day, the moment, the last hours of their life, the fleeting of their life, leaving their body. My friend, they began to rail on the Lord. They began to, my friend, condemn him and join him with the crowd that day as he was dead. And we come to verse 39, we read, "And my friend, one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself. And so we find here, my friend, and by the way, that was the play of both of these men early in the events of Calvary. Now, my friend, we're on up into the day now, and this one malefactor, he's still crying out, if you are who you say you are, then save yourself, and while you're at it, why don't you save us? Now, can I tell you what this man is asking for? He's asking for a miracle. It would be an absolute miracle from the Lord to come down off the cross and to save himself, and while at it, bring these two malefactors down with him. Amen. It would take a miracle. It would be a miracle for them to overcome the crowd and overcome the soldiers and overcome the crosses on which they hung that day. And so what's he asking for? He's asking for a miracle. And the miracle he wants is the same miracle that is likened, the same miracle that our generation in the world is looking for today. They want an instant miracle. They want a handout from God. They want God to do something temporary and something physical for them. And so he wants a miracle. And I'm not preaching down about that. I want God to bless me. I'm thankful for the miracles that God has done in my life of a temporary nature. And God, my friend, is interested in that. Amen. If you back up, notice what the crowd said in verse 35. Abel said, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, a chosen of God. And so what do they want to see? They want to see a miracle. They understand the Lord is in a position. And my friend, there's no human way out of it. And my friend, it would take a miracle of salvation for him to come down off of the cross. And my friend, this crowd is crying out, amen, let him save himself. A malefactor on one side is saying, if you be Christ, save yourself and save us. Notice with me in verses 40 down through verse number 43, we understand that one of these malefactors had a change of heart. I don't know what all happened in his mouth. I don't know what all work the Holy Ghost did in his heart. Somewhere in that day, in the events in that time, when the Lord was giving his life, amen, there no doubt was something he saw. There were things that he heard. This man changed his tune. He's no longer looking for a miracle that will satisfy him for the moment. And he's looking for a miracle that is eternal, a miracle that only can happen at a hill called Calvary. And so today, I'm interested today, I think, in the greatest miracle that happened that day in Calvary. In fact, I think today it's still the miracle of all miracles. I'm mindful this morning of the old song that talked about, I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee. I didn't see him feed the hungry multitude. I didn't see him touch leprous bodies and they be cleansed. Amen. I've not, my friend, seen him open blinded eyes and deaf ears. Amen. But I know by faith that, amen, one day I went to Calvary and I found forgiveness for my sin. Amen. The miracle of miracles. I want to preach for a moment this morning. I'll not be long and it ain't deep, but it's just how the Lord's landed up. Amen. But I want to deal with a miracle of a forgiven sinner. A miracle of a forgiven sinner. As some boy gets up, amen, that morning they come and they get him out of his jail cell. He's in shackles and bonds and chains. It's going to be his last day on earth. He's lived the life of a reprobate. He's lived the life of a rebel. He's lived his life for himself. He's lived his life in sin and in trouble. And my friend, all he's ever got, amen, is heartache and let down and trouble out of the way that he lived. My friend, by the time that the sun goes
place down there. This boy's going to have a brand new way. Yeah. My friend of living, I don't recommend it. That you wait till your last day on earth. Be saved. And it don't, there ain't many folk ain't get the opportunity. This boy God did. But I think the Holy Ghost done he did as a reminder to tell you that. And my friend, the greatest miracle of all miracles is that when the Lord forgives a sinner, death. And let me give you a few things here today as a picture from this event. And my friend, show you an ad that every sinner in this place this morning, every sinner on earth, every sinner in Newport, every sinner in Cock County, my friend, has hope because of the miracle of a forgiven sinner at Calvary. Number one, consider the condemnation of the sinner. And the one malefactor that's hanging there cries out to the Lord and rebukes him and said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now this boy that's going to be forgiven, he looks at him and he says, do you not understand that we are in the same condemnation? Amen. In other words, he's reminding that boy that my friend, he is there, death, and he has been guilty and convicted of sin. And these two men that are hanging on the side of the Lord, my friend, they are absolutely, amen, under the condemnation of the law. And I remind you today, and that's where the sinner is at. Amen. These boys, they said, they've already been convicted. A guilt has already been passed on them. In fact, notice when the Bible said, when he began to speak to this man, he said, but the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. In other words, he understood it, and something had gone on in his heart. And so, boy, no longer, it's not just a fear of dying, it's not just a fear of the torture, it's not just a fear, my friend, of what's going to happen to me in the event of the day. This man understood something went off in his heart. Amen. Then when he took his last breath, he'd be standing before God. Amen. The condemnation that gripped his heart in that moment of time, all the sin he had ever done began to move into fear. All the things he had done that he said, I'll never answer to anybody yet. Now in Calvary, this man feels condemnation, and the fear of God grips his heart, and he understands that I must give an account to God. The condemnation of the sinner. Can I remind you today, a sinner friend, and even those of us that are saved, that my friend, amen, listen, if you're lost today, amen, you're under condemnation already. According to John 3 in the Lord's conversation with Nicodemus, the Lord said, amen, men won't come to lay because their deeds are evil. Amen, lest they be reproved, their deeds be reproved. He said that the Lord, my friend, came not in the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Death, and this is the condemnation of the elect, and it's come in the world. Men are already under condemnation. Death, the word of God, the sentence of God through his word, death, has been passed. Death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death, amen. You will give an account to God. Death, it is appointed unto men, the Bible said, once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, Gerald, men and women and boys and girls that are lost today have a condemnation that is against self. I'm telling you today, you may think you've got back. You may think you and God have an understanding that this old boy got to the place in his life and he realized that, amen, the guilt and conviction of the sin that was in his life that had moved him to fear God. Yeah, man, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I guess what I'm saying is, thank God for the day the Holy Ghost came back and began to move in my heart and began to work in my life. Amen, when I thought I was going to be okay, but I wasn't going to be okay, and the Holy Ghost came back and showed me what I was and put the fear of God down in my heart. Amen. The Bible said that a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. The fear of the Lord, my friend, is the beginning of knowledge. And I'm telling you today, they live in a world that doesn't fear God. That's why they drink their beer and smoke their dope, put needles in their veins. That's why they curse and tell dirty jokes. That's why they live in rebellion. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, we're in a mess in this area because men do not, amen, fear God. Amen. This old boy hanging on that cross, amen, you might as well not try to talk him out of what he is. Amen. He knows all the nights he's lived in sin. He knows all the days he's lived, my friend, in rebellion. He knows all the wrong I'm feeling I preach at. He knows it all, but Jerry, it doesn't do nobody any good to come back and say, well, you know, amen, everything's going to be all right in the end. We all get to heaven one way or another on different paths. This old boy understood at Calvary that day, amen, that there was a sovereign God and is about ready to answer to, and condemnation fell on his soul. Condemnation of the sinner. Have you ever been convicted? Have you ever felt the condemnation that's against you already? Amen. I was sitting at the lunch table this week with a group of men, and there's a young man who's deeply confused and his philosophy about eternity is, well, God forgives it, and it's just going to be all right. You can live your life like popcorn sitting and be a moonshiner and a God kisser. Amen. And a potty mouth, and a rebel, and you can take your own way, and in the end, that God's just going to wipe it all clean. I got news for you. Amen. God ain't ever overlooked sin, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washing it away. He'll die under the condemnation and guilt of sin. Amen. I don't believe popcorn sitting no more went to heaven than there's a man on the moon. You might as well say amen. And that goes for, my friend, our family members that live in sin. That goes for, my friend, every sinner that's here today. You must understand that, my friend, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. And no doubt this old boy lived his life. Amen. I'm just going to do what seems right. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. The Bible said the end of that man's way is going to be a way of destruction. A good day in your life when you let God show up, amen, and put some fear of the Lord down on the inside, and fear that makes you realize that, my friend, God is one that's going to be answered to. Amen. People get mad at preachers for preaching on sin and even preaching, and I ain't even really preaching hard this morning, but amen, just even preaching the few things I am today, they get mad at me. And I say, you're not mad at me. You better understand, my friend, there's a God in glory that said you're a sinner, and there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth that. And the Holy Ghost desires nothing more in your heart and your life today and to let you feel the condemnation of sin. Amen. You'll never get truly saved till you feel the condemnation of sin. You'll never have the miracle that this man had as a forgiven sinner in the end of the story, and at the end of the day, he's going to leave this world a saved man. But the way you get to conversion, the road to conversion, is a road and a path of condemnation. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to be saved, but nobody wants to feel bad about their sin. Y'all might as well, this ain't in the notes, but I'm feeling I ain't preaching. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven and drink their beer. Everybody wants to go to heaven and live in immorality. Everybody wants to go to heaven and hang on to all their wicked ways. Can I say you'll never be converted until you feel a condemnation of sin. Condemnation of the sinner. Number two, notice the confession of the sinner. when this work begins to take place in his life. I'm mindful today, according to verse 41, that this man made a confession, and it's the confession that, my friend, every sinner has to make if you're going to experience the miracle of forgiveness of sin. Notice what he said. He said, look back in verse 41, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. And I say that this boy's first confession is a confession of his wickedness. What he is saying in this statement, and we indeed justly, is that I am getting what I deserve. I'm wicked. I'm here because of the wickedness that I've done in my life. I'm here because I've lived a sinful life. I've walked wicked ways. It is a confession of his own wickedness. He's not saying, well, I'm a little bit better than you are. There's a lot of folk in Newport today that think they're going to heaven because they hang to a confession that they're a little bit better than somebody else is. And I remind you today, until you get to the end of your road and see yourself as the Apostle Paul did when he said he was the chiefest of sinners. Amen. Paul didn't get saved saying, I'm a little bit better than everybody else. He got saved when he came to the end of his road and said, you know what? I feel like I'm the worst of worst sinners, Seth, and I'm the most sinful of sinners, Seth, and I'm the most wicked of sinners, Seth. There must be a confession of wickedness. Amen. Until you see yourself and feel the condemnation of sin, and God convinces you of what you are, and you're willing to look the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the face and say, I'm wicked. You know what this old fella's doing? He's saying, I ain't got anything to cling to. I'm here today because I'm in trouble today because of my own sin. Amen. Be a good day in your life as a sinner went. Amen. Even this morning you come to the end of your rope and say, you know what? I'm in the mess I'm in. My family's in the mess it's in. My life is in the wreck that it's in because of my own wickedness. It's amazing. We've got so many results of sin all about us, but nobody's a sinner anymore. Amen. Amen. And don't get mad at me now, but people live their lives in disarray and in unbelievable ways. Ain't got two pennies to rub together, and I'm not preaching against poor folk. Bible said the poor you have with you always. They always gonna be around. And I ain't rich today myself. But it amazes me, amen, the men that my friend lived their life in sin, and they ain't got two pennies to rub together, and they just kind of bum their way through life. And my friend just kind of, hey, what is that? They're blowing all their money and all their resources on wicked and sinful living. There are families that are falling apart today. You say, why do families fall apart? They fall apart because of sin. Wickedness. And we've got all these, and I'm going somewhere, I'll get preaching again in a minute, but we've got all these signs and all these things and characteristics in our day where sin has been and sin is destroyed and sin is defiled, and everybody's sitting back saying, well, I'm a pretty good fella. This old boy gets a place. He said, you know what? I better get honest about it. The Lord done showed me. I'm dying indeed justly. Amen. Confession of his wickedness. Number two, a confession of his deservedness. He said, and we indeed justly. Let me see your Bible, Lucas. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. And I tell you what this boy realized. He realized not only was he wicked, a confession of his wickedness, but Gerald, he realizes that he deserves everything that he's getting that day. Can I say there's a crowd that is running around in this Joe Osteen mentality day of religion that says, you know what, God ain't going to put anybody in hell. And God wouldn't do that to people. This old boy, he's done got way beyond. Thank God the Holy Ghost got a hold of that before Osteen did. And he said, you know what, I am wicked. I'm confessing my wickedness. And while I'm at it, I want to go on record and say I'm getting exactly what I'm due. The deservedness of his confession. Amen. Can I tell you how a sinner gets saved? Amen. Anybody ever got saved that wouldn't confess their own wickedness and their own deservedness of hell? You may not word it how somebody else does. Amen. And there may not be exact words that come out of your mouth. There'll be something on the inside that confesses to God, I'm wicked, I'm hell bound, and I'm worthy and deserving to go to hell. Amen. This crowd says, well, I'm glad God saw something worthy in me to save me. There wasn't nothing worthy about you. If there's something worth, if he saved you on the merit of something in you being worthy, it wouldn't be grace anymore, it'd be merit. I'm telling you, the day he reached out and did that miracle of forgiveness, all I had to say is, Lord, I'm absolutely wicked. It doesn't matter who my preaching daddy is, and my praying mama is, and my singing and preaching grandparents are. Lord, I'm wicked, and I deserve to go to hell. I didn't get saved bargaining with God, saying, Lord, I got a little wickedness, but it ain't so bad that I don't deserve to go into heaven. The day I got saved, I was at the end of everything. Amen. Hallelujah. This is turning into testimony. Amen. Thank God, brother, that day he come by my way and let me feel condemnation. Oh, amen. I couldn't help it. Amen. Cry out and confess to him. Amen. My own wickedness and my own deservingness of being put in a place called hell. Everybody says, well, you know, I'm wicked. I'm a sinner and all, but I just don't deserve to go to hell about it all. Y'all Baptist preachers are just taking it too far. No, we're taking it as far as God takes it. Amen. And it don't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are or unreligious you are. Amen. The fact of the matter is we're all born in sin, David said. And there's a big debate even in Baptist churches going on right now. Amen, about the fallen nature. And I'm telling you, when you was born into sin. David said in Psalm 50, in sin, if my mother conceived me. Amen. We was born into sin. Born with a sin nature and born headed to hell. Amen. But thank God the Holy Ghost is ours to do a miracle of forgiveness of our sin. Amen. By one man's offense, many were made unrighteous. It's what the Word of God said. I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. Amen. And God pronounces a judgment on sin. You deserve to go there. The deservedness of this man's confession, the wickedness of his confession. But notice, not only does he confess these things about himself, but notice how verse 41 ends. This man hath done nothing amiss. So what's that? That's the confession of Jesus' holiness. Hey, man. You know what he's saying in that? Amen. You say that's a short phrase. Yeah, but it's jam-packed. Amen. What that boy was saying is, I'm confessing my wickedness. I'm confessing my deservingness. This man ain't done anything wrong. I've been watching him and listening to him. I don't know if he's acquainted with his life and with his ministry. This boy knew. Hey, my friend Jesus, if he's going to be saved, if he's going to be forgiven, it'd be rooted in the sinless nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He realized he stood out. I don't know if he's there when Pilate was questioning the Lord and come out. I don't know if this old boy overheard Pilate say, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I find no fault in him. I don't know if he heard some of the echoes that went about when they called the false witnesses to accuse the Lord, and yet there was found none. I don't know if this old boy, something about the way the Lord, when he overheard the Lord there at the cross, say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Something this boy said. There was something that he heard. There was something the Holy Ghost put in his heart. The blinders fell off. And he seen Jesus for who Jesus was. The way, the truth, and the life. Hey man, can I say today, thank God. I didn't do it in myself, and y'all know me today. I ain't no Calvinist, but all them years I lived around church, 17 years of my life, I heard this kind of preaching I had out of the King James Bible. Hey man, I've been in services where the Holy Ghost moved. I thank God for the day, and condemnation gripped my soul, and the Holy Ghost moved and worked and showed me what I was and who He was. Hey man, I'm telling you, that's when a man's on his way to being the miracle of a forgiven sinner. Notice with me, we see the condemnation and we see the confession. Last of all, and I'm done, notice the cry of the sinner. After he gets done, I mean under condemnation, "Lord, I ain't got nothing. I'm just old wicked boy headed to hell." And y'all help me pray for a man. He's a middle-aged man by the name of Robert. I was talking to this week. He came up to me, and Brother Will and I have been trying to witness to him, and he stood there at my truck on Friday morning. He said, "Preacher, I need to ask you a question." He got to ask his question, and he made this statement. He said, "Look, I know when I die, I'm probably going to hell." My heart's been broke for him since he said it. Amen. We've tried to witness to him and tried to give him the truth. You know what that is? That's old condemnation kicking in. Amen. But that condemnation and a confession, just knowing what you are and deserve and knowing that he can save you, ain't enough. This old boy had to make a cry. And I love what he cried. Notice verse 42. Are y'all with me now? I'm about done. "And he said unto Jesus..." The name above every name. "And he said unto Jesus," the one Peter said, "there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved." The name of Jesus. It's the name Jesus. "He said unto Jesus," at one Paul said over in Philippians 2, amen, "that God had given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father." Amen. I'm telling you, it's Jesus all the way. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord." Woo! Hallelujah. Lord, amen. Amen. You say, what is that? That's the recognition in his cry. "He said unto Jesus," amen, "Jesus the Savior," amen, "Jesus the anointed of God," "Jesus the one in whom is forgiveness," said, "Lord." Hey man, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying today, ain't ever been a sinner, ever get saved and have the miracle of forgiveness, it wasn't willing to come to Jesus and cry out, "You're the Lord." Amen. You may not say it in those terms. I've heard sinners and listened sinners pray in a lot of ways, but I can promise you this, you won't get up arguing about who's the Lord. Amen. There's a cry. In that cry, there's a recognition that he is the Lord. And can I say, he is the Lord, period. There's a crowd arguing, "Well, when does he become Lord? Well, have you made him Lord?" Can I say today, I never made him Lord. Amen. How are you going to make somebody something they've always been? Amen. Hallelujah. How are you going to make somebody something they're always going to be? This old boy, he didn't make him Lord. My friend, when he cried out on the miracle of forgiveness of sin, it was a recognition, "Lord." Hallelujah. By the way, that's the same way the Apostle Paul got it. got kicked off his mule, amen, by that old blinding lad, and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Amen. This crowd arguing about, is he Lord in salvation? Well, if he ain't Lord in salvation, he's not Lord at all. He's Lord in salvation. And there's an acknowledgement, there's a recognition. And this old boy in his cry, "Lord, amen." And I just parked there a little while. I feel like I ain't got time to park there a while, but he's still Lord. And because he's still Lord, he's still saving sinners from their sin. Amen. Hallelujah. The recognition of it. Amen. Notice with me that I believe there's repentance in it. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord." You know what he just did? He not only gave recognition to the person of Christ, but he's just turned his back on himself. Now he's coming to the Lord. Now he's coming to Jesus. Now he's quitting leaning on himself and on maybe who his mama was. I don't know. I can't tell you with certainty that he had one, but you can't tell me he didn't. This old boy may have had a God-fearing grandma somewhere. About like everybody in Newport. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I was baptized, and my snuff dipping grandma, she'd been down there at that church for 47 years. You know what they're doing? They're relying on their grandma's religion. Amen. You better quit relying on your tobacco dipping grandma and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The recognition, repentance of his cry, the request of his cry, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Amen. You know what this old boy had been doing his whole life? He's an insurrectionist, which means that he lived his life in rebellion to the Roman government, trying to establish some sort of earthly kingdom. Now he's turned his back on that. He's come to the Lord and he said, "Lord, it ain't about my kingdom. It's about you remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Hey, man, can I put it this way? Jesus' kingdom is out of this world. Hey, man, I'm glad today. Hey, man, there's hope for every sinner that'll come to the Lord and request in the Lord, "Lord, hey, man, remember me. I want to be a part of what you're building." Thank God this old fellow received the miracle of a forgiven sinner. The Lord looked at him. In all the agony the Lord was going through and all the torture he'd been through, blood pouring out of his eye sockets. Beard plucked from his face. Jaw bones swollen from the beating that he's just took. The Lord, Brother Jack, looked over at him and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this old fella realized it was all about the Lord. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to speak in tongues. He didn't have time to handle a snake. Everybody okay? He didn't have time. He didn't have time to repeat a prayer. Amen. He didn't have time to run down and join a church. All he had to hold on to that day is what every sinner has to hold on to, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. The miracle of a forgiven sinner. I want to ask you today, have you ever been saved? Have you ever, you say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know nothing about me." I know this, if God could save that wicked boy in the last hours of his life and carry him into paradise, there's hope for every sinner sitting here this morning. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where it is you've been. If you're willing to repent of it and turn from it and by faith lay hold of the Lord, I promise you, you can have the miracle of all miracles.
be a bigger miracle than the Lord letting $1 million be dropped in your lap out of the sky this morning. Be a miracle greater than my friend, anything you could ever comprehend. The miracle of all miracles, the miracle of Calvary, where God forgives sinners. Come to the piano, Sister Candy. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, that the day, Lord, we didn't like it when it happened, but we're thankful for it today. That day condemnation fell on our life. That which was already against us, that which was already on us, we felt the heavy weight and load of that guilt of sin. Father, I bless you for it today. Lord, it caused me to lift my eyes to the Lord. And Lord, you put truth on the inside. Lord, you put honesty in my heart. Father, caused me to confess my own wickedness, deservingness, and Christ's holiness. Father, I want to thank you for that day. When this poor man cried, you heard me. Delivered me out of all my trouble. Lord, I know you can do it again today. There's people here. There's men, women, boys, and girls here today that need to be saved. Lord, we preach a simple gospel message. And yet, Lord, it could save the world. Lord, may it save one or two or a handful here this morning and all you do. We'll thank you for it. Help us that are saved to be grateful for Calvary, to glory in the cross, the place, the greatest miracle we've ever had. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand together. There's a few that's come already to pray this morning. If you're saved this morning, I want to invite you to come. Maybe get on the altar and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving somebody like me. That old repentant thief we preached on this morning is a dying man. He is a dying man. The Holy Ghost made him a discerning man. The Lord Jesus Christ made him a delivered man. Can I remind you today, you are dying. It's coming a day in your life you're going to take your last breath. Would you let the Holy Ghost discern truth in your life? Cause you to see yourself for what you are. Push you the Lord Jesus Christ that you might leave this life, leave this world a delivered man, a delivered woman, a delivered young person. Is there one at all anywhere this morning? I'll ask the us, and these are praying. Is there anybody in the service this morning? You say, preacher, I can uplift my hand. I can confess today. I know I'm a sinner. I know if I died, where I stand or where I sit or where I kneel this morning. Preacher, I know that I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Preacher, please pray for me. I ain't going to come to you. I ain't going to call you out. But you just uplift your hand and say, preacher, I'm concerned enough about it this morning to ask you to pray for me. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know the miracle of Calvary. Is there one anywhere? Is there one anywhere this morning? Preacher, pray for me. How many saved uplifted hand? Preacher, I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now today, I know heaven's my home. Could you uplift your hand to that? Could you uplift your hand to that? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you for being honest. If you can't raise your hand on that, we invite you to come. I promise you this morning, we're your friend. We're your friend today. We'd love nothing more than take the Word of God, show you what God says. Gospel message is a two-edged sword. Son, it pierces and it cuts. It is good news. It is good news. Y'all look this way while she plays there. The gospel is good news. It's good. Amen. It's like good news to a man who's drowning in a sea, and somebody throws him a lifeline and says, "Here, I'm gonna pull you out." But if that old boy don't realize he's drowning, you can throw him every lifeline in the world. It ain't good news to him till he understands that he's about ready to go under for the last time. Amen. I'm telling you today, the gospel's good news. The gospel brings deliverance. The gospel brings the miracle of forgiveness for sin. Where you deserve to go to hell today, if you by faith will go to Calvary, there'll be a miracle take place in your life where your sins are forgiven. They're washed away. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we who are unworthy and deserving of hell are made worthy by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Listen, this is what I'm going to say this morning. As a saved man, I'm as good as already there. I'm not working at being saved. I'm not trying to be saved. I'm saved, period. Amen. How can you say that? Because I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Thank God today for the miracles of Calvary. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin. Amen. I appreciate your attention this morning. And so good to see you. Everybody look this way now.